And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, baseball's back.
Yes, baseball is back. It has been a long, cold, and dark winter, but there's daylight when we're recording outside my window, which means that spring is not far on the horizon. In fact, it's already started. Pitchers and catchers have reported. I'm glad the Rays didn't do the usual thing. You know that thing that baseball teams do where they go, it's like immediately following the Super Bowl, and they go, our turn, we're right. Hashtag yeah. On deck. I'm so glad that that didn't happen. They just kind of waited for everyone to report, and then that, and then they just turned up, because I'm kind of tired of that cliche. I don't want to bring up the Super Bowl.
Me neither. No.
Then we'll just move. We'll just move right along then. We'll just move right along.
And we'll move right along into Rays baseball, which is back, as we said. And we are so glad to have all of you, whether you've been with us the whole offseason or you're coming back to join us as we're getting back into baseball season. We're glad you're here. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Hope you enjoy. We're going to talk all kinds of stuff today. We got all kinds of news that was jammed into this last week and a half or so, plus rotation breakdown we're doing today. You're going to want to stick around for that, because I think for both of us, that breakdown has changed within the last couple of days here. And so lots to talk about there. If you're coming back and you've been with us before, we appreciate you. Just do us a huge favor and check and make sure that you're subscribed, whether you're watching us on YouTube or if you're following us on another platform. Just make sure you're following us. Helps you to know when we go live. Helps you know when you have the opportunity to come and talk ball with us, which we hope that you do. Drop us a comment on YouTube if you've got thoughts, which I know you do. Let's kind of get right into it, Pat. A busy kind of end of February or beginning of February leading up to pitchers and catchers reporting. A lot of moves, and there's, you know, some big, some small, but this has been a lot more active offseason than I expected the Rays to have.
Yeah, lots of nothing earth shattering, but lots of little reshuffles here and there. Continuing to add in the outfield. They traded with the Marlins to get Victor Mesa Jr. We traded infield prospect Angel Bracci for him. Victor Mesa Jr., I don't know, he signed with the Marlins a few years ago as an international prospect to a lot of hype, like a real lot of hype. He was like considered a huge international prospect, but has since kind of died down in terms of hype. Him and his brother both signed. His brother, I think, isn't with I don't think he's with a major league team anymore. But Victor Mesa Jr., he hit well in AAA last year, had a cup of coffee in the majors, didn't show tons, but it's a good defender, and could be an okay hitter. Still only 24, and I think he's not going to be in the mix for starting in the MLB outfield, but is like there as like a guy that can fill up the depth in AAA and can be called upon if needed. So that's a move that we made. We Brett Wisely, thank you for your service. Yeah, we gave the $50 or whatever that we got from the Braves for him back. And we did a takes backsies there. I think the most intriguing thing we did, apart from the big ticket free agent signing that we made, the other like little move was we got Ben Williamson from the Mariners in another three-team trade, by the way. Yes. That's our third three-team trade this offseason. Is that the record? We're going to need to like have a look at that.
I have to get stats and info on that. It definitely feels like a record, and was not the part of the trade that I think we wanted to be a part of, you know, as Brendan Donovan got moved to the Mariners. And we ended up with not Williams, but Williams' son. So now we have Williams and a Williamson on the team now, potentially fighting for the same reps.
Yeah. Yeah. Williamson, primarily a third baseman, but can kind of play anywhere in the infield. Is a good fielder, is a really good fielder. And that's why the Rays got him. Did not show very much with the bat last year. Hit to a 604 OPS, which is not high, one home run, kind of a slap singles type hitter. No power really. Can make contact at a decent rate, but yeah, he is a Taylor Walls-esque player, I would say.
He is, and much like almost like half of the expected opening day roster, he has options. And so he, along with many of the other folks that we're going to talk about as we are leading up to the beginning of the season, they're going to be up and down. There's only a couple of guys really that we're going to talk about in the, from the, you know, position player side of things that are locks to be at their spots the whole season. Even some of the guys without options are not locks to be on the team all year long. And so it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. I'm curious to see what this means for Taylor Walls. The fact that they brought a guy like him in, if we're just looking at it, they have the same amount of options. I think Williamson is going to end up being about the same price. So I'm not quite sure what their thoughts are with bringing him in, especially because his primary position is third and that's locked down. But it's another, it's again, seems to lean towards what we've been talking about all offseason, that the Rays are going to do this by committee, where they don't have a locked in starter. They have decided they're going to handle those positions by committee one way or the other. And so the hope would be that a guy like Carson Williams steps all the way up and you don't need to be switching guys in and out, but they're going to have all the options in the world to switch around if somebody doesn't step up and claim, you know, shortstop and second base.
I completely agree. I think more than Taylor Walls, because I think he's going to be on the team next year. He's going to be on the team. I've never been more certain of anything in life than Taylor Walls being on the team. Wow. Like he's going to be there. He's got a lifetime contract, I think.
It does seem like it.
But the thing for me is this is if Carson Williams isn't still quite ready for major league pitching yet, which we got the impression that he wasn't quite ready when we brought him up at the end of last year. If they now go, okay, if we do want to put Williams in AAA and make a couple more adjustments, then we can have Walls and Williams' son kind of be our shortstop and backup shortstop. And we can stack them however we want them to stack them. But they want two kind of good defensive shortstops on the roster at any given time. And they will have to, no matter which way they swing it now.
Yeah, and I think something – This isn't as big of an issue because Taylor Walls is a switch hitter, but you know, there's always been a need for more right-handed bats to provide some value. And Ben Williamson is a right-handed batter. It remains to be seen if he will be able to provide some value. For what it's worth, Taylor Walls' splits as a right-handed hitter are a little bit worse than his splits as a left-handed. It's not a big difference, but it is there. And so we'll see. It's really not a huge difference, but he is slightly better as a lefty. And so be interesting to see if the idea might be like you're saying, if we do leave Carson down in AAA, is it a platoon situation with him and Walls?
Maybe. And also I think Williamson has that versatility as well. So if you need Caminero to take a day off, or if you'd rather, you know, you've got a one run lead and you'd rather put a defensive substitution on, Williamson's quite good for that. He could do that at second base as well, sure, where we don't really have a clear favorite at that position. Gavin Lux, again, not the best defender ever. So you could, again, defending a lead late, you might want Walls and Williamson up the middle, or Williams and Williamson. Is Williams and Williamson the new Low Lau? Now that we've lost those guys,
it could be. Yeah, we also lost Wander Walls as well. So you know, we got to keep finding new combinations out here.
Yeah, we got to do that. We need something to keep BA and Dwayne on their toes.
Yes.
And speaking of, that was a little like bit of minor news that isn't affecting the on-field product, but is affecting us, the fans. Is that we've now got confirmation of where we can watch the Rays. Which is going to be through MLB is the way to do it, Rays.tv or whatever it is, which is going to be distributed by Major League Baseball because FanDuel went under. The Rays aren't the only team that this is happening to, but it's just worth noting that if you're wondering where the Rays are going to be, that's where they're going to be. I think they're charging $100 for the season for Rays.tv. They did confirm, though, that they're going to bring back Dwayne B.A., Ryan Bass, all the usual crew. That's not going to be affected by the changeover.
Yeah, and that's another one. We were talking about it kind of before the show. We have had some positive views on the way that the organization is trying to get some of the quote-unquote little things right. That's a little thing to get right. Make sure that we've got Dwayne and B.A. Don't make us, don't make us lose those guys. Like that would just be a net negative. I mean, no offense to whoever else might be out there, but we want Dwayne and BA. We want Ryan. Like that's who we want. And all the folks that do the after show as well. We want all those folks. And so we don't want to lose any of that. And so that's a good thing. And the nice thing about it too, is it gets around the blackout issue that has been with folks who have got MLB.tv in the past. And allows it just make it a little bit simpler. I will be curious to see if this is something we see more teams do in the future, is to make that option available so you don't have blackout issues with watching your team's games. Be interesting to see how that's handled. But a positive that we've got that sorted out for this season.
Definitely. I think as well, I think Dwayne, we can probably count on our fingers how many seasons he's got left as Rays broadcaster, and you wouldn't want his time to get cut short because of bureaucratic stuff business and stuff. You'd want him to finish with the Rays on his own terms.
Yeah, and whenever he does decide to hang up the spikes, we want to have a good old-fashioned tour, celebration tour like any other elite star that's been doing it for decades, which he is. And hope that day is still a long way away, but 100% agree that I'm glad that we've set that up to be able to happen.
Yeah. Rays Hall of Famer, I think, because he's been the lead broadcaster for every Rays season, like since 98, right?
Correct.
And we'll have people listening that weren't even born in 1998.
Yeah. I mean, he's a legend. Next day, if they did that sort of thing, next day he would be in the Rays Hall of Fame. The voice of our Rays fandom, along with Dave Wills and Neil Solons and the rest of the folks.
Yeah, definitely. It's like that first game of spring training that the Rays broadcast does, and you hear Dwayne and B.A.'s voice for the first time. It's like a warm hug. It's like, we're through the winter. The warm times are coming. We can settle into some baseball, and it does feel like greeting an old friend again. So I'm glad they're all back and nothing's going wrong with that. All right. We got one more thing that we need to talk about before we preview the rotation, but it is directly related to the rotation, and the Rays signed a major league free agent, and one that I don't think was on many of our radars, but the more you think about it, the more it makes sense. We signed right-hander Nick Martinez on a one-year $13 million deal with a mutual option for the next season, 2027. Nick Martinez spent his time with the Reds before coming to the Rays, made 40 starts. Well, no, played in 40 games, 26 of them starts last year. Pitched 165 innings. To a 4.45 ERA. What are your initial impressions of the Nick Martinez signing, Zach?
They are that it's clear that the Rays value having a trusted and true tried starter on the rotation every single year. This has been something they've done for a while. It was Littell before. It was, and again, not big names necessarily, but people with experience. You know, it was Littell before. It was Eflin before that. It was Morton before that. It's somebody who maybe isn't going to knock your socks off, maybe isn't going to be a world beater, but somebody who started a lot of games, has some experience that they can bring in to support the young starting pitching that is, we hope, will take us kind of the where we want to go. But it's a guy like him who, again, maybe not be lighting the world on fire, but has a track record of success that they want to add in as a 3-4 guy in the rotation to bring some stability. Floor raiser type of guy. And it's something that as we were sort of kicking around the rotation before we got to this point in the season, there was always a lot of questions. Well, I guess Mats and Seymour are starting. What's Joe Boyle doing? And it's a lot of questions that we sort of had. This is a question answerer move here from the Rays. It's something expected. I like the move. I really don't have anything bad to say about it. Out of the box, $13 million seemed a bit rich, but it's a one-year deal, and you know, at some point, that's just what starting pitching costs at this late in the game. And you know, he's been putting up consistently between 1.5 to 2 WAR over the past couple of seasons, so that really falls in line with his value. So while it does seem a little bit rich, I think it's appropriate for what he's bringing to the table. And glad that the Rays saw a need that I think we thought was there and decided to fill it and did it in a way that is still economically, you know, makes sense.
Yeah. $13 million for like what seems to be a kind of major league average starter, which is what I think Nick Martinez kind of will project as anyway. Makes sense. I think that that's kind of, like you said, market value. I think Martinez is interesting because he has a lot of the traits Zach Littell had as a, like, in terms of his pitching makeup. Mm-hmm. He kind of throws low 90s with the fastball, but leans heavy. Well, he actually alternates kind of evenly between a cutter and a four seam. But then he also throws a sinker a lot, a changeup a lot, a curveball and slider with semi-regularity as well. He's kind of a kitchen sink kind of guy, will not strike out a lot of guys, is a soft contact merchant. Basically, he's just trying to get you to make contact as quickly as possible and get you to hit the ball softly with loads of like little movements as opposed to like wipeout stuff. He's like trying to just miss the barrel, which is kind of what Zach Littell's game was. So I could see the Rays getting a Zach Littell kind of performance, and I could see Nick Martinez realistically having a career year because the Rays know how to do well with that type of pitcher. I'd say Drew Rasmussen often flirts with that kind of style as well of just trying to pitch efficiently and get outs quickly. And I think we'll try and use that mold again with Nick Martinez. So I'm a big fan of the move, and I think he might surprise. I think he might surpass 2 WAR. And yeah, after losing Shane Barrs, I was like, oh, we need to make up like 150 innings somewhere. And I think he's the guy that can do that.
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison with Littell, because if you kind of just take their Baseball Savant pages and look at their stat profiles, what you kind of notice is Martinez trades a little bit, actually a lot bit less barrels and hard contact for a lot less chase with strikeouts. And that's one of the little kind of dirty little secrets about Zach Littell is he did kind of get lit up occasionally. It didn't always manifest in home runs, but his hard hit rates were not necessarily what you would want to see out of a guy that you are imagining as a soft contact kitchen sink type of guy. 40% hard hit rate he was running, which is, you know, it's not quite what you're looking for. And so on the other hand, Martinez up in the 90th percentile, 34%. Hard hit rate from him, but again, very low strikeout numbers, but also kind of keep bringing them back together. Both of them are not walking guys. And so they end up profiling similarly, but I like what Martinez does because he really is going all the way into using your defense. And as we know, Tropicana Field is a pitcher's park. And I think he's going to play very well in the Trop. It'd be interesting to see how he does on the road, but I think we're going to see some really good games from him in the Trop, where again, not high strikeout numbers, not a lot of flashy pitches, but you're just going to see a lot of groundouts, a lot of weak fly balls. And you're going to be like, man, here we are in the sixth inning and it doesn't feel like much is happening, but there's a 1 or a 0 over there. So that's pretty good. And I think that's kind of what a lot of his starts are going to feel like when we get into the season. So good signing, happy to have him. I think he is a lock in the rotation.
100%. 100%. And also Great American Ballpark. Is it still called Great American Ballpark?
Cincinnati? It is.
That's also a very hitter-friendly park as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be... I like the move. I think it's Hey, he is Zach Littell before he rapidly increased his value at the end of last year. So we're just going to do, we're going to regen Zach Littell just before he kind of became famous as being good, you know? So yeah, I'm a big fan of that. And I think he's a lock for the rotation. It'll be interesting to see what that does to the other people on the fringes of the rotation, which I think we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. But yeah, big fan of the move. The mutual options for $20 million, which feels like a lot of money. And mutual options are very rarely picked up anyway, because if he does really well, he'll want to go for a better deal. And if he doesn't do well, we're not paying him $20 million next year. So it's rare that a mutual option get picked up. But it does exist if he's like somewhere in the middle, I suppose.
Yeah. One place where mutual options, I think, do really come into play is shop.arbularsports.com. Because if you go to shop.arbularsports.com, you can choose to get some of the best merch out there inspired by your favorite Tampa sports teams, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Wraith, and Sun. And we will always mutually agree to send you that great merch. So it's a good option for you at all times. Go there, use promo code FLAPPY, F-L-A-P-P-Y, for 10% off your entire order. Shop.arbularsports.com.
Yeah. I mean, always great value for money. It would push those t-shirts that were on the fringes of your rotation out, because you've just got a deadlock into your fashion rotation. But yeah, it's always the best option to go to shop.rbglassbot.com. And you can also, we're doing a new thing. We've got RBLR 24/7 as well. Have you heard about RBLR 24/7?
How could you not have? It's streaming at all times on our YouTube channel. You're looking for something to put in the background, and you just want some Tampa sports goodness as you're doing the dishes, cleaning the house, whatever it is you do, hop on over to YouTube, and it'll be right there for you whenever you want it. If you're there and you are enjoying that, do us a huge favor and drop us a subscribe. If you're enjoying the show so far, drop us a follow or a like. Helps us out a bunch. It's free. Doesn't sign you up for anything. Just lets us know you appreciate us, and we would appreciate you if you did it.
Definitely, definitely. So let's talk about the 2026 Tampa Bay Rays starting rotation, because it's an interesting one. It's an interesting one. So Roster Resource has it set a particular way. I think the three that are definitely set in stone for me, and I'll let you butt in after that. For me, Drew Rasmussen has to start on opening day.
Agreed.
Then after that, I think for me, Ryan Pepiot would be your number two starter. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to think about that one. Okay. And then I think after that, it would be Nick Martinez is a lock. Shane McClanahan is going to be in there as well. I think he is a lock in the rotation, but I've got some things to say about Shane McClanahan. And then the fifth spot is up for a bit of debate. And contenders for that are Steven Matz. But then you've also got Ian Seymour. You have also got Joe Boyle, who could also get into the mix with that. I think they're the main three to watch in terms of the rotation. But I'm interested to hear how you think it's going to all shake out.
I want to kick you a idea I've been having as I've been thinking about the rotation, specifically the way they're going to line him up opening day. And you notice I had some pause when you said Pepio for number two. Well, here's what I want to kick your way. Pepio started opening day last year. If you recall, if you were watching us at that time, I said Littell should start opening day. But I thought it was fine that Pepio did.
Yeah.
Well, Pepio did not pitch like a number one starter last year.
No.
And I wonder if it might, and this is, again, something that you would have to be the manager of the clubhouse to understand this dynamic. Would it be a benefit to him to slot him a little bit farther down in the rotation for two reasons? Number one, to take some pressure off of him at the beginning of the season to not be that guy. But at the same time, to also say, hey, we gave you that number one spot. You didn't really earn it. We still believe in you, but you got to earn that now and give him a chance to earn that. And what I would suggest is either Shane, if he's fully healthy, because, you know, that you could, if you really wanted to get into it, you could make an argument for Shane to start opening day if he's fully healthy. I think Drew's earned it, and I'll give it to Drew 100%. But Shane could be number two. And then you could, and then, you know, Nick Martinez or Pepio, you could go either way. There's one other thing that's kind of interesting as we're looking at the starting rotation, is how you're going to go righty lefty, in the rotation. It's as it has been in previous years, a little righty heavy, from like kind of our, you know, our top two, maybe our top two guys. I don't know. We'll see. Rasmussen and Pepio right-handed, Martinez right-handed. So I think you could make that argument as well for going Shane, number two. But I'd like to see what it might do to Pepio's mentality, to slide him down a little bit and see if that lights a fire under him to get to where we always believe he can be, but where he hasn't quite got yet.
I don't hate that idea. I don't hate it at all. Shane McClanahan worries me sick.
Yeah.
He last we saw him, he was at worst a top 10 pitcher in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know when that was? That was in 2023.
Way too long ago to think of.
That was in 2023. Like, Juan DeFranco was still playing baseball games. Like, when you spend 2.5 whole seasons on the shelf, I have no clue what to expect from Shane McClanahan.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the same guy that we saw in 2023. I can't back, like, on his name alone. Yeah. He's probably the number two guy, but I'm like, does he still have velo? Does he still have his stuff? Like, will he still have that kind of command, that feel for the game, that kind of almost like, I don't want to, I hate using it, but aura on the mound where he could just bully you? We don't know. And I guess we'll find out in spring training, and that's what spring training is for. But he worries me sick. I'm so terrified that he is, like, whether or not he's going to be the same guy or close to the same guy that he was. And that's what gives me pause about immediately shoving him into number two, especially because he's going to be on a super harsh innings limit, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's naive to think this, but I kind of think if that were the case, if the Rays thought that, I feel like we would have seen some signs by this point. And I guess maybe you could interpret the Nick Martinez signing as a admission that we're going to need more help and that Shane might not, but I don't really see it that way. Especially because he's not a lefty. I don't see that that's the reason for the signing. But at his availability earlier this week, it was I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the interview of him talking. If you haven't, if you're out there and you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. It's very interesting. And he talks a lot about, Shane does, about the way that this long absence from the game, playing on the field, has affected him. And one of the things that he really pointed out was maturity and how he thinks he's become less emotion driven and more logical and more mature on the mound even. And so he made some, you know, mention of more than just baseball had happened to him over the course of the last couple of years. So it's going to be, so I think it'll be interesting. Everybody says when you get to camp that everybody's the best they've ever looked and feels the best they've ever felt and all that kind of stuff. But I guess I just would have, I feel like we would have seen some signs if they were worried about that. That being said, it doesn't matter what they're worried about, because whatever happens is whatever happens on the field. They could think he's going to be amazing and he could get out there for the first spring training and be throwing 91. Mm-hmm. And like, that just is what it is. So it will be very interesting to see. And I do hear you there. And I will say that if you're not going to put Shane number two, you probably do then have to put Pepio number two, because I don't know who else. I don't know that you could put Martinez number two, as someone who just got here. Nor could you put Mats or Seymour. So if you don't feel good about Shane, if you're the Rays and don't feel good about Shane, I would put Pepio number two. That'll be something I think I think of all the things we're going to talk about, things to watch, you know, it's understood that every Rays fan will be watching every time Shane McClanahan steps on a mound, because, you know, and we'll talk about this as we talk about kind of our predictions for the season, but it's gonna ride a lot on how he pitches.
Yeah. Rasmussen's great.
Yes.
By the way. Like, I think we are taking for granted how good he is. Like, we kind of just skipped over and be like, yeah, he's the opening day starter because he's great. And he is. Great, but quietly great, I think.
Yeah.
He doesn't get like the same kind of attention as someone, you know, like Gerrit Cole or like a Paul Skeens, because he's not as good as them. Like, he won't strike out as many guys as them. But like, in terms of just pitching through innings without giving up runs, he's like right up there.
Yeah.
And I think he's currently our best kept secret at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. And I wonder, you know, I think the profile of how he pitched last year is, I think, the best version of him. You know, we've seen him in seasons past, you know, put a little bit more emphasis on strikeouts. But I also, you know, whether you want to say it or not, whether it's connected or not, the seasons where he put more emphasis on strikeouts were the seasons where he got hurt. Not sure how he'll if they're going to keep going with this route. But again, even if it doesn't necessarily get him Cy Young votes, which he 100% still could earn and, you know, may even expect him to earn some Cy Young votes. It's definitely going to keep him lower on the radar because strikeouts are what gets the, you know, unless your ERA is sub 2, strikeouts are what gets the eyeballs. But I will say, you know, side note, I'm not sure who the best pitcher in the American League is going into this season. I think in the NL, we believe it's Paul Skeens. And I think Skubal, we would all expect him to continue to be excellent. But with both Skeens and Skubal, I don't know if I'm just jaded. I'm expecting them to, at some point, have a rough season where they step back a little bit from the excellence that we've shown them. Because those are the guys we expect going into the season. Yeah. But I'm going to very quietly just say, keep an eye on them going into this season because they've been so good. And I'm like, Major League Baseball will adjust at some point to these guys. Just curious to see if this is the year where maybe they're still really good, but maybe they take just a half step back.
Yeah, definitely. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there was no guarantee Skubal was going to be on the Tigers coming into this year. It looks like he is now, but I remember there was a lot of Dodger.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud circling.
And there probably will be again at the trade deadline. Like, it'll probably, it's probably unless and until they sign him to a long-term deal in Detroit, then it's going to be a conversation every trade deadline. And the same thing with Skeens. They're both going to be, every year, they're going to be talking about them.
Yeah, 100%. I think Rasmussen, like, I'm going to just say it. I think he's my favorite Rays pitcher of the 2020s so far.
Wow.
I love Drew Rasmussen. I've loved him since he's turned up. Ever since, and especially since he almost threw a perfect game. Do you remember that?
I do.
And I was like, and they let him pitch the ninth. And I was like,
yes,
we got something. He's great. My one concern with Rasmussen, he was on a strict innings limit last year. And he kind of hit the cap. I wonder what the cap's going to move to this season, if he has one. I still don't think 200 innings is in play for him. I wonder if 180 is.
Yeah, I think 160, 170 is a good place for him to land. Because again, we're about to kind of get to this portion of the pitching conversation. They've got a lot of guys that can be bridge starters and be a sixth starter. So they've got some guys who can soak up some of those other innings. So I don't think they need him to go 180. It would be fun for him to go high innings, but I think they're going to be very comfortable allowing him to only go 160, 170. And I think they're going to be happy with that.
100%. So we've talked a bit about Pepio. He is a guy that it's a prove it year for him.
Yes.
In his first year with the Rays, he showed a lot of promise. He might have been the best starter in 2024, start to finish for the Rays. But still, like, you felt like there was still something, another level to be reached. Last year, he took a bit of a step back. Command, still an issue for him. And when he does get hit, he can get hit pretty hard. So now you got to want, and I think for a lot of Rays fans, our expectations on Pepio's ceiling have significantly dropped. But can he prove that he's still more than like a middle rotation starter? Could he make it to a, instead of being an ace, we're all like, could he be a number two starter?
Yeah. Well, and you talk about being a prove it year. He's a free agent in 2029. I know it's only 2026 now, but this offseason would be the time if the Rays were going to give him an extension for the next couple of years and lock him down. And he has not gotten paid yet. You know, he's only making $3 million.
Just started arbitration, yeah.
Just started arbitration, but he hasn't got paid yet. So this would be the offseason for him to get that deal. It's really hard for me to make any sort of prediction on him because he's just kind of looked pretty much the same both years he's been in a Rays uniform. Like,
yeah.
Strikes guys out, walks guys. His numbers are like almost like they're just very similar. Year over year. Yeah. He pitched more innings last year. That was really nice to see him get to 167. Hope that maybe he can continue to do that and get to 170, 180 maybe. Because he does seem to be the guy that the Rays are the most comfortable with going a lot of innings. And so we'll see. And, you know, we do – sometimes we talk a little bit negatively about Pepe. He still pitched to a 3.86 ERA. He still put up two WAR. So it's not like he's bad, but I guess what we're always saying when we're talking about him is we know, okay, we've seen a couple of his starts where it's like we see that Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell ceiling, right?
Yeah.
And we know it's out there, and we are just rooting so hard for him to get to that ceiling. But the only way it's ever going to happen is if that walk rate goes down. And I just don't know that I can really realistically predict that. Will having more defensive-minded catchers in the org this season affect any of that? I don't know. I haven't gotten around to it yet, but I've been meaning to do some research on our pitchers because once I did it on USAID, I started to get curious. I'm curious to see how much having those non-defensive-minded catchers affected our starting pitching. But we'll see. At the end of the day, he's just got to find a way to get it over the zone.
Yeah, but not – his fastball is not quite blow up enough to be like just throw it in the zone. He's still got to do it with, yeah. Because he's not throwing like 99 out there.
And it's the thing we said about Boz and Bradley too, is if they locate that fastball at the top of the zone, the thing is electric and will get strikeouts. If it drops into the zone, kind of gets annihilated.
Yeah. So he's just got to be careful, I think. But yeah, it's a make or break year for him, I think, to decide on his true potential, whether he's a kind of mid rotation guy or if he does have a room to improve. We're about to find out. So he's maybe the one to watch. Nick Martinez, we've just talked about at length, a lock for the rotation. I think he'll be fine. He might, like I said, I think he might have the potential to drop his ERA from the mid fours to the mid threes. I think he could do that, and I wouldn't be surprised. And if he could do that, that'd be huge.
Yeah.
The fifth spot in the rotation is a bit more up for grabs. And this is where I think a lot of discussion is going to come. So we've got Mats, who we signed for $11 million. So he's, I think he's got the inside track. But then you've also got Ian Seymour, who looks really good in kind of spot starts here and there. And then you've also got Joe Boyle, who's like if only Joe Boyle can work it out, command-wise. And he made significant progress on his command between 2024 and the 2025 season. And he looked good in bits, but he's still not quite to the point where he's like, yeah, he's happy to be a regular rotation guy. But the ceiling for Boyle feels like the highest out of all of those three, but he also has the lowest floor.
Yeah, we saw it last year. There was like a run of like, I think it was like four or five starts where he just looked awesome. He was like, man, this guy's just elite, I guess. And then he came back down to earth. And so the job for him is to find some consistency there. And if he can do that, then he is the Tyler Glasnow, Shane McClanahan when healthy type of guy who can just be elite. I've made no secret that I quite enjoy Ian Seymour. I am an Ian Seymour enjoyer, and I would like to see him in the rotation to start the year. It seems pretty obvious to me based on how much they paid Steven Matz, and Matz is going to start the year in the rotation. But I think that Seymour has earned a spot in the opening day bullpen, in my opinion. I think we'll talk about this more when we talk about the bullpen in general, but like Mason Engler, Steven Wilson, both guys that I think will pitch in the bullpen, both have options. And so I would like to see Seymour in the bullpen to start opening day, just because I think he's too valuable of an arm to leave that in AAA. The only caveat to that I might say is if there is some sort of a plan somewhere to flip either Martinez or Matz middle of the year, because they think they can kind of not fix them because they're both fine, but make them look really good and trade them, then I would understand the idea of leaving Seymour to sort of be the guy starting for Durham and let him start every 6 days or whatever. I could see that being the way they do things. Me personally, I would just really like him to be on the opening day roster.
But with McClanahan the way that he is, they might be really reluctant in April, especially, to let McClanahan go more than two times through the lineup. And that might be
fine. I agree.
So then, if you want innings, Ian Seymour might piggyback off McClanahan.
Yes.
Or Steven Matz, right? He's not been a starter, per se, consistently for a while. So again, you might only have him go through a lineup and a half. Three, four innings, and then Seymour piggybacks off him. So I think Seymour has a way to get on the roster and might not start games, but might Ryan Yarbrough his way through the early portion of the season, where he's kind of piggybacking off people that can't go as long early. That might be the way that they work it out.
Yeah, that's what I would like to see. That's the version I would like, is where he's on the roster. The only thing that's a little bit odd about it is that generally when the Rays do that, they like to switch the handedness of the guy who's coming in behind. And it's a bit of a bummer because Matz and Seymour are both lefties. So it kind of kills that idea a little bit. But I think that'll still be an option for them to bring Seymour out of the bullpen to relieve McClanahan and Matz as well. Again, the bullpen is really solid as well. So you could, even if you are stashing a guy in the bullpen to be a potential starter, I think the rest of the bullpen is good enough and you've got guys with options that can support having an extra guy sitting kind of on the rotation-ish in your bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there any way Joe Boyle gets into this rotation?
I don't think this season, yes. Opening day, no. I don't see a world where, unless we have like a rash of injuries, which would be a disaster, I don't see how Joe Boyle starting opening day. I think that the benefit for him is to continue to just get consistency. I don't necessarily think he needs like a whole bunch of time at AAA, but I think that just giving him the opportunity to be more and more consistent will be a benefit. This is his last year with options, so I think the Rays are going to want to take advantage of that.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It's also worth noting that Ty Johnson and Brody Hopkins are going to be in camp. Yes,
that is worth noting.
I don't think they have much of a chance, unless like injuries go crazy. I don't think they have much of a chance of starting the season on the big league roster. We could, but they are both guys to keep an eye on to watch as the season progresses. They might end up on the major league roster, and it'll be fun to watch them in camp. Of course, Hopkins, the big kind of name in the Rosarena trade, Johnson, the big name, well, the remaining name in the Isaac Paredes trade. So they're guys to keep an eye on in camp that will try and make good kind of first impressions. But I don't think they're in the conversation. So are we in agreement that our rotation is going to look, it's some combination of Rasmussen, McClanahan, Martinez, Pepio, and then Matz, and then with Ian Seymour kind of as a swingman role? Is that how you see it shaking?
I think it's Matz, Seymour. It might be who has a better camp, but obviously you're not gonna lose Matz. I don't think they will lose Matz until he is like, unless he pitches really bad and they just DFA him. But I think they're gonna try to keep him going into the season and keep him around for as long as possible. I think that's the plan.
And to conclude this discussion, how good of a rotation do you think this is, actually?
So we'll do this a little bit more when we start kind of previewing how the team's going to do versus the other teams in the division. I feel really good about this rotation. I think that you have a very high floor for this team, this rotation, while also having a insanely high ceiling. If McClanahan is somehow figures out how to be healthy and be what he was before, and Joe Boyle figures it out, those are two big ifs. But if that were to happen, they become a monster of a rotation. Not even talking about Pepio. They have a bunch of guys who have really high ceilings. And the guys that don't already have a high floor, like McClanahan, potentially for injury reasons, and Boyle for consistency reasons, they have backups in the guys like Martinez, Matz, and Seymour. And then you've got Drew Rasmussen, who's kind of your sure thing, thrown in there. And so this is a really good rotation. It doesn't have the headliners. You could maybe make the argument that Drew is that. I don't know that, you know, I don't know how high they're going to be ranked in many people's like preseason starting pitching rankings, probably not very high. But I would say that if you were to do that ranking, if somebody, MLB.com, does that ranking, and then you check back in middle of the season, you're going to be very surprised where the Rays grade out in almost every stat category, except for maybe strikeouts. They're going to be really high. They're going to be top 10 in a lot of categories going in the middle of the year. Will that equate to wins? I don't know, but the pitching is not going to be why. At least the starting pitching, I don't think, is going to be why we have problems unless we have injuries. So barring health being an issue, I would say I'm at like a 7.5 to 8 out of 10 on the confidence scale with the starting rotation.
Yeah, I'm sitting at a 7 out of 10. I'm sitting at a 7 out of 10. I am terrified if Drew Rasmussen gets hurt.
Yeah.
Which is not impossible.
That's correct. Yeah.
Like you, I think everything you said is true, but the highest ceiling options are also huge injury risks.
True.
And that's the one thing stopping me from going to like an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm just like, please Rasmussen stay healthy. I'd love McClanahan to get the chance to show what he can do, but I'm kind of mentally planning for McClanahan to not pitch this season. But yeah, I think you're right that all the other options are like solid options, if unspectacular options. Yeah. I don't think the starting rotation are going to lose us many games. They might not win us many games, but they're not going to lose us many games. So I feel like that it's a decent rotation. I think you're 100% right that I don't think many people are going to rank it very highly, just because of the names involved and the lack of strikeouts and the kind of stuff in the rotation. But I think it's a good enough rotation to be like, I don't think it's a division winning rotation, but I think it's it'll be good enough to carry you to a wild card, I think.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about this as the weeks go on. I think the lineup is where more questions are going to be asked.
Yeah, and I've said this. I feel like this is what I say every year about the Rays rotation. If they get in the postseason, they're set up really well for it. They got a bunch of guys who are experienced coming out of the bullpen and some really high upside starters who you can also pull the plug on and throw in high floor options if you get a bad start from one of them in the postseason. Yeah. So it's just going to be a question of if they can get there. And I kind of agree with you. The question of whether or not they get there will not be answered by the rotation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they will be fine. I think they will be top half to top 10 in most categories. Yeah. I think they will walk. I think they will be like top 5 in least walks and walk rate and stuff like that. And I think going to the Trop, we will have far fewer home runs given up than we did last year. I think that'll be really positive. But yeah, we won't be grading out much on strikeouts, I think, is the main thing.
No, we don't. The only way we get crazy strikeout numbers is if McClanahan's healthy and locked in, if Pepio locks in, and if somehow Boyle figures out a way to be a factor. But otherwise, yeah. I'm okay with just not walking, guys. I'm good.
Yeah, and that's fine because I think we've built a really strong defense.
I agree.
This year with Williamson and Williams and Walls. I think Caminero is completely solid at third base. Mm-hmm. And I think all of the outfielders that we brought in are good fielders.
Yeah, there's not a lot of bad defense out there.
No. So, yeah, the only person you could have some questions about catching, perhaps. and we probably will as the weeks go on. Yeah. And Aranda's not a world beater at first base, but everywhere else, I'm kind of like fine with how good the fielding is. In fact, I think the fielding is good.
Yeah.
So I think us, you know, being quite aiming for soft contact ball in play benefits the team.
Yeah. We're going to be breaking down the rest of the position groups. We're going to break it down the infield. We're going to be breaking down the outfield and the bullpen coming up here over the next couple of weeks. If you want to be around and listening when we do that, and I think you're going to want to be, do yourself a huge favor and drop a subscribe or a follow on whatever platform you enjoy us on. That's how you'll know when we go live and how you'll know when you'll have your shot to give us your opinion. We want to hear from you guys. What do you think about the rotation? Do you think it's, are you excited and think it's going to be elite? Do you think we're going to be the bottom of the barrel and anchoring the AL East? What do you think we're going to be? We'd love to hear from you guys. And we'd love to hear from you as we go out through the rest of the spring training. You know, as we get into games, there's going to be a lot to talk about from that perspective of who's showing up, who's showing out. We're going to have a lot of guys we're going to be watching. It's an exciting time to be a Rays fan.
Definitely. I can't wait for games to start. Let's hope that nobody gets injured between now and then. Nobody gets hurt in camp. Make sure you do your stretches properly, folks. You got to make sure you do your warm-ups and your cool-down stretches. I'm getting to an age now where if I don't do cool-down stretches, I know about it. And we don't want to be doing that. So make sure you're doing your stretches. I know the Rays roster listen to this podcast. So do
you? They do. Ones. Do your stretches, guys. I mean, if you take nothing away, if you don't listen to us about the starting pitching, if you don't listen to us about anything else, do your stretches, guys. And while you're doing your stretches, say Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.